This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, brought to you by Profits Plus Solutions. Increasing your profits plus building your business for the future. We are Profits Plus. You can find us at profitsplus.org. This is Small Business Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Now, the host of Small Business Conversations, principal of Profits Plus Solutions, here is Tom Shea.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Small Business Conversations for Thursday, April 21st, 2022. Glad that you could take the time to join us, whether you are here for the live program or whether you're going to be online at some later point in time. We're glad to have you with us. Let us tell you about our program. Small Business Conversations is a monthly program put out by ProfitsPlus.org. We find some of the most fascinating people who've got knowledge that is relevant to our business, who are kind to give up part of their evening, come and visit with us, and share ideas, information that could be of value to your business. We have been doing this program for a long time, to the extent that tonight we celebrate the start of our 13th year of Small Business Conversations. And I was recently asked, well, when did the podcast actually start? And oddly enough, found out even before there was the internet, there were podcasts. My research said about 1980. So I guess at that point they were just on little cassette tapes that people would send to each other. But in the formal version of podcasts as we know them now, they've been out since about 2004. But Small Business Conversations is geared towards small business owners, all types of businesses from around the world who come and join us. As you are here a part of our program, we record it. Small Business Conversations is available on our website, profitsplus.org, as an MP4 file that you can click and listen or download to your personal listening device. We are also available on some 18 podcast services, which include Amazon Music, Anchor, Apple, Breaker, CastBox, Castro, Google Play, iHeartRadio, iVox, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, Verbal, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and any smart speaker that you have by simply telling your little machine that you wanted to play Small Business Conversations with Tom Shea, and it will bring to you our most recent edition. And somehow out there, I understand technically you can get it to pick which podcast program that we would have out of our last 13 years. I just don't know how to do that yet, but we're working on learning how to pick which podcast to get it to send. So before we bring in our guest, let us tell you the history of Small Business Conversations and how we got to tonight. Our program started 13 years ago, and as it started, it was simply me sharing a business lesson with people. And someone called one day and said, you know, you really need someone to be with you. And I guess to show the age of myself and this person, he said, I'll be your Ed McMahon, so I'll kind of cut up with you and we'll have a good time. And one night, we were going to do a program and talk about aspects of accounting, and we got a phone call from a man who said, you probably don't know me. I've been in your audience many times. I used to own a bicycle shop and would attend your sessions at Interbike, which is their big national bicycle show held every September. Today, I'm a CPA and want to ask, are you okay with the program? And I said, oh, we'd love to have you, but let me ask you this. I've got a better idea. Since we're talking about accountants, would you come on the program and be our guest? Could we ask questions of you? And I said, I'll make you this promise. There'll be no beating up of accountants. There'll be no accountant jokes told during the program. It will be a conversation just back and forth. It's not going to be anything like you hear on any of the news programs. It's not going to be anything like a Jerry Springer program. We're just going to have a pleasant conversation between those of us on the program, and you can share bits of information. Well, the program went over very, very well. So immediately we scrambled, we changed everything, and from there on out, we have had a program with a different guest every month. We've had several who have come back. And again, as I said, just people who are here to share their information. Well, in the fall of 2021, we got notification that Small Business Conversations had been selected as one of the top 20 small business podcasts in the morning in the United States. And in doing that, somehow or another, it just opened up the gates. We have had all kinds of PR firms and media companies who are sending us information. Oh, please interview this person and please interview that person, and of which I would say probably 90% of those who get nominated or self-nominate themselves, we have to say no because we quiz them and find to them a small business is someone who's doing $20, $30 million and they're telling you how they made millions of dollars. And I go, just not relative. We're not really wanting to hear your success story. Our program is about people learning how to do better within their business. And then we got a call from tonight's guest. And with tonight's guest, he said, we'd like to interview you. And he brought in a statistic that really surprised us, in which he said, the average podcast program lasts 10 episodes before they shut the podcast down. Okay, and that's 10 episodes. We've got 13 years of programs. And so we had this really neat thing going that we've created, and we visited with him. And as we got to discussing podcasts, we thought this would be neat to have this guy on because what he does is interview lots and lots of podcasters to see how do they do and what do they do. Okay, so let's look at it from the perspective of, well, all right, that's a podcast, so what? Okay, I run a business, I'm not a podcaster. That may be, my friends, one of the big mistakes that you're missing is not having a podcast. I mentioned in the invitations that we sent out this week for the program, your business has a competitive advantage over any of the big corporations that you compete against because you own your business. You're passionate about it. You have more than most people have with regard to knowledge about the services and the products that you offer. And it's very easy when people interact with you to see the passion that you have for what you do. That's a hard thing to convey to people by way of television, radio, newspaper, magazines, and other things like that, for them to see that you really have that much knowledge to share. And it's also for each of those, it's kind of an expensive situation to buy time, radio, newspaper, any of those items because they are incredibly expensive for a small business, frequently because they cover such a wide area, larger than what your trade area is. So you're talking to a lot of people who very likely would not be your customers. So in doing additional research for this, there was a gentleman that we were introduced to, and he was doing a program. He does lots of them. He doesn't have any guests, which makes complete sense. I'm fine with that. And in his programs, he is telling you about your swimming pool and your spa. Here's how to take care of it. Here's how to fix things. Here's how to enjoy. Here's signs that you should be looking for with your pool or spa. Here's everything you might possibly want to know about your pool or your spa. Now, when it comes to the pools, it's not that he does the maintenance on them. He actually builds the pools. So in most cases, he's going out to someone's home and is giving them a bid, a quote, to install a pool for them because this is a very healthy size ticket. You know, there's 5 digits to the left of the decimal point easily in building someone a pool. It's a lot of people in all kinds of service industries who are going out and giving quotes, giving bids, and hoping that they come home to roost. And I see this frequently with people in these type of businesses who just I'm out there doing bid after bid after bid, and I'm going, that's great, but how many of them do you land? That's what counts. It's not that you could give a large number of them in, during a week. It's how many can you land for your business. With this particular gentleman, he knows that if you have heard five of his programs, he calls himself the pool guy, if you have heard five of his programs and then call him to come and give a bid to put a pool at your home, 8 out of 10 times he contract, because he has already established himself as. Well, each of you who are listening to our program tonight, you are also the expert. You're a pro at what you do. And so what we want to do with our guest tonight is to show you the hows and whys of having a podcast so that you would consider starting one for your business, because we'll be able to tell you it is a really easy thing to do. I mean, ours has been going on for 13 years. The financial investment that we have is minimal in this thing. It's just a matter of staying with it. So that being said, our guest tonight, as we were visiting before the program, started his career in engineering. Went to a university close to us in Florida. He was right across the street from the Daytona Speedway. And then somewhere after getting his career going in engineering, he got the bug about watching the internet and going, here's an interesting way to make a living here. So he left engineering and started looking at ways to help businesses do things through the media. He's been podcasting for a bunch of years. He has tried several other things that he has learned, so he's got experience for firsthand in what he's doing. So with all these people that he's interviewed, he's got a lot of interesting perspectives that he has learned from these people that we're going to ask him to share with you tonight. He has a program called Entrepreneurs on Podcasting, where he interviews people who do their podcasting day after day to help their business grow, and that's what he's going to share with us tonight, these unique strategies and the tactics that people have used. We'll throw some of ours in as well, to make it an effective marketing tool for their business. That being said, our guest tonight is Cliff Duvanois, and Cliff, you're with me, right?
Yes, Tom, my man, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for spending your Thursday evening up in Michigan. I would suspect you're starting to see some hint of spring weather up there, but you're going to either spend it inside or out on your porch enjoying it, talking to us and our listeners in the program and sharing these stories about what you've experienced with people who have been doing podcasting, of which we were thrilled to have been one of them. So past the bit of the story that I shared, tell me some more about what got you into digital marketing.
That's a great question, Tom. And I what really got me into digital marketing in the first place was, if we take a trip back in time to about 2018, I was still living in Los Angeles, California. I was a part-time real estate agent in addition to some consulting work that I was doing. And I really wanted to figure out how I could stand out and really differentiate myself in that marketplace. Now, to give you kind of a little bit of a context here, in the state of California, one out of every six people is a real estate agent. So I lived in LA County, which was 10 million people. So that means that I live in a county with a million real estate agents. How in the name of God am I going to differentiate myself in that marketplace? And that was actually one of the key questions. When you always get into business, it's one of the things they always say is that you got to figure out a way to differentiate yourself from everybody else. Well, the business coach I had at the time said to me, why don't you start a podcast? Now, I had listened to podcasts, but I didn't know how to make one. I didn't know how to create one or how they were doing it. So I sat down, went onto YouTube, which was probably one of my first mistakes, but I learned a lot, got my podcast up and running. But here's the deal. When I actually started checking into how many other real estate agents in LA County had a podcast, there were two others that had a podcast. I mean, you think about that, a million real estate agents, and there were only three of us that had a podcast. And the other two actually went into PodFade. And I know we will talk a little bit more about what that is, but they basically stopped producing episodes after about 10 or 12. That right there got me very excited because I essentially put myself in a different plateau by having a podcast and then being able to go out and share with people when I would talk to them at, say, you know, like if I was doing an open house or if I was taking people on a tour of a house or representing sellers and I would mention to them, oh, I have a podcast, that immediately piqued their curiosity because they're like, you have a podcast? You know, what is it? What's the name of it? What do you talk about? And that's when I realized the second point was when you start a podcast, you essentially become a media company, which gives you another level of credibility when you're out talking to somebody. So I was no longer Cliff the real estate agent. I was Cliff the media guy. And that right there helped to elevate the status of, you know, when I was talking to people, which was brilliant. That right there cascaded into, okay, how can I use Facebook to get my message out? How could I use LinkedIn to get my message out, right? And get this powerful platform. So at the end of the day, that's how I really got started into digital marketing was because I had what I felt to be a good podcast. I just needed to get the word out to other people.
You know, interesting that you mentioned that. I look at digital media. Now, I realize the challenge is a person knowing how to do the media. So if you have mastered that part, the expenditure can be extremely, extremely small. I'm old enough to remember in being in business where we consistently would spend 2 to 3% of gross sales in our advertising to get our message out there because there was no such thing as the Twitters and the LinkedIns and the Instagrams and the Pinterest and all these other things that and the Facebooks and email marketing and stuff like that. We were stuck with television, radio, newspaper, and direct mail pieces and stuff like that. Boy, what a savings a business can have by being able to use this. And right now, as has occurred during the COVID situation, there were two businesses, Bed Bath & Beyond, and then who has physical businesses, and Wayfair, who is strictly an online retailer, who were dying. Both of them were dying. And then COVID hit, and their sales went through the roof. All was great. And now that COVID is receding, they're both back to dying. To give people an idea of how digital marketing can do things for you as compared to doing something like the moneyed ones, Wayfair spends 12 cents of every dollar they take in getting their message out there. They can't outrun the cost. That's the problem. They're spending all this money, and they can't bring to themselves enough business. So, Cliff, thinking about what you said, in Los Angeles County, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, even on the worst radio station out there, how much would it cost to run a commercial that would say, for your real estate needs, be sure that you take and call and speak to me. Let me help you find your new home or sell your home, whatever it is. I go, well, you'd spend a lot of money, but when you understand digital marketing for your business, the cost factor really, really drops for you.
It does. And the powerful thing with podcasting is the fact that right now, as I'm talking to you, I can guarantee you that I have got a podcast recording studio in my pocket, i.e. my cell phone. You have one as well. All of your listeners have one. The cost barrier to get into podcasting for everybody listening to this right now is zero. Anybody could start a podcast and start producing episodes and getting it out there. You were talking 12 cents a dollar. I don't even think right now my podcast expenditure is really a blip on my monthly budgeting sheet because it is so low. The thing is, when you produce the content, right, you get the episodes out there, you create the episodes, people will find them, people will download them, people will listen to them. And so with that mindset, again, going back to the 12 cents of every dollar, if you think about your podcast episodes as kind of like little employees for your company, right? They're just waiting for somebody to download them and listen to them. And then they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They never take a day off. They're never absent. They never go on vacation. They're always on the ready. And so if you want to talk about a really cost-effective way to spend time with your ideal customer, you know, whether they're driving down the road in their car or whether they're doing gardening or whatever that might be, you really can't beat the impact that your podcast episodes can have when, like I said, when your ideal customer is listening to them.
And in our podcast, which is done a little differently than most everyone else's, we have a cost a little more than yours because with Small Business Conversations, we do it as a live program. So as I tell all my guests, we don't have the opportunity to come back and sit down and start editing this. It is what it is. Our cost that we have with ours is only the people who listen to it by way of their phone or by way of the internet during the live version of the program. If you listen to it on any of the podcast services, it cost us nothing. Only those people who are listening to us right now as we're recording it, do we have any cost, and it's because of the service that tracks according to how many minutes on the internet and how many minutes by way of 800 numbers in North America they listen to it. So with that being said, quick station break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some more about podcasting your business.
This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network from Profits Plus.
So this is Tom Shea from ProfitsPlus.org with Small Business Conversations for Thursday night, April 21st, 2022. It's a monthly program that we have here at Profits Plus to bring you some really neat people to help you learn something more about your business. Well, tonight is no exception. Our guest is Cliff Duvanois, who is a serial entrepreneur whose niche is dealing with digital marketing. And specifically tonight, we are talking about ways to do podcasting. When we're through with tonight's program and you're interested in finding him, you can find Cliff online at this website, entrepreneursonpodcasting.com, or you go look for him on LinkedIn, and let me spell his name for you, Cliff, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D, Clifford, we just call him Cliff. Last name is spelled D-U-V-E-R-N-O-I-S. So let's get back to our guest. Let's talk some more about things dealing with podcasting. So Cliff, let me ask you this question. Do you have any numbers or any ideas as to how many podcasts are out there?
So the last article I read, which was about 6 weeks ago, said that there's about 1.5 million podcast out there. Now, I want to preface this because somebody could say, oh my goodness, I'm sure that there's all kinds of podcasts out there that, you know, would compete with my business. But keep something in mind. With 1.5 million podcasts out there, depending on if you talk to Apple or Google Play, but there's an estimate that anywhere between 60 to 80% of those podcasts out there are in pod fade, meaning that somebody started a podcast, they produced 8 or 10 episodes, and then they stopped, and they haven't produced an episode since then. So there is still a huge opportunity for people to go out there with a podcast and with a little bit of savvy to be able to go out there and just essentially just dominate their niche by just putting out episodes around, you know, their knowledge base, around, you know, their business and their level of expertise.
You know, there are lots of ways that you can take and get people engaged with podcasting. We are starting, not through Profits Plus, but a nonprofit group that I started. We are doing a new podcast, and we are tying into a trade magazine and to a tourist type of thing. And by getting other people who will see value in what we're doing, we're getting all kinds of stuff for free. And because we're putting together a quality product, we are finding that people are wanting to tell them about, oh, go listen to our program. But it does take, you know, a consistency. This isn't going to be like a newspaper ad that when it works and when it works well, that you are going to take and see results in the next 30 minutes. You know, as Cliff had said, the number of podcasts out there and those that die, yeah, there's not that many podcasts that have got the longevity that we've got of 13 years, or just as we were noticing, we're getting ready to send out our newsletter for May. We've had a newsletter out every month for 23 and a half years. It says being there, being of substance, and being there continually for your business. So, Cliff, can you give us some examples of what people have done, these experts that you have interviewed over the years, as to what they've done that has established them in their particular trade to become the expert, the one that you want to listen to? Perhaps something like our guy, the pool guy?
That's a great question, Tom. And what I want to do is I want to take a step back, because you talked about this before, and I would like to point this out for your audience, because what you said was actually very powerful. You were talking about creating, you know, a podcast and working with trade magazines and getting all kinds of stuff. This is one of the powers. When I talked before about establishing credibilities, this is one of the most powerful aspects in podcasting, is that it allows you to build strategic connections with other people. I'm not talking about just regular networking where you might collect a bunch of business cards and go about your way. You get to be very deliberate when you have a podcast, especially if you're doing an interview style show, about who you bring on to the podcast and then build that relationship with them. So I'm sure that everybody in your audience right now is probably thinking, man, if I could have this person in my network, that would just help me out so much. Well, a podcast gives you the opportunity for you to reach out to them and say, hey, I have a podcast. I would like to interview you for my show. And then I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, they're going to say yes. They're going to be very flattered. And then you get to spend an hour with them talking. Like, even if it's a half an hour interview show, you get to spend an hour talking to them. So when you were now asking me about some of the tactics and strategies that these entrepreneurs with these podcasts have experienced, the number one trick that they have all revealed, or strategy they've all revealed, is how podcasting has opened doors for them to connect with people that they never dreamed they could connect with. When you have a media company, when you're producing podcast episodes, when you're putting them out there, you will be amazed at the number of people who will say yes and agree to be on your podcast. And that is your prime opportunity to start the relationship, to build the relationship, to learn more about this other person and how you can help them and how they can in turn help you. So when I look at all these different experts in these different areas with regards to coaching or building online communities or anything else, this is exactly, like I said before, the number one thing is building those strategic connections that has really helped to propel them and really solidify their positioning as a leader in their niche.
I'll testify to that. So let's see, 13 years. So we've got 140 some odd podcast programs that we have distributed. All people I have ever asked to be the guest on our program, I have twice been turned down. Twice. One of them who said, "No, I've got a very particular focus as to who my customer is. I don't think they listen to your program, so no." And the second one, oddly enough, was a speaker I met at a trade show who said, "No, I don't think I'd have enough to talk about to visit with somebody for an hour." And I thought, I just sat there and heard you speak for an hour and a half to these people, and somehow now you don't think you can't do it. But other than that, everyone has done it. I have had New York Times best-selling authors on our program. I've had the president of the SBDC for the United States who's been on my program. We got a pretty neat list of people that I can make a phone call to, pick a topic, and just call them up and say, "Hey, could you be on my big guest on my program 2 months from now, 3 months from now? You know, I know you got a new book out. Would you like to do this?" So if you're a person who, say you're in the pool business, like this, the one who's the pool guy, you go to a trade show, you'll find people who are experts. You could find someone from Hayward or Jacuzzi, some of the leading manufacturers of components for pools and spas. If you sell clothing, going to a trade show, you can find the people who manufacture stuff. You can say, "My guest on my podcast for this program is going to be so-and-so who has designed this line of clothing that's available in my store right now." You talk to them like they're your long-lost friends, and people go, You spoke to this person? Sure, I can speak to them. I can talk to them about stuff, and you should hear my program about this. It's a, as you say, it's a wonderful marketing tool to say, "I'm the expert here because I have access to all of these people who are that important within the trade." Your customers love it. Hey, we're at the bottom of the hour. We have to give Cliff a moment to take a drink of water. So before we get in the second half, reminding all of you, this is Small Business Conversations with Tom Shea, coming to you from ProfitsPlus.org, a monthly podcast program finding experts from all over everywhere, and we're visiting tonight. Our guest is Cliff Duvenois, who is telling us here's how to do it. So in the second half, we're going to ask Cliff a couple more questions, and we'll share a little bit about just how easy it is that we're doing our podcast program. Don't go away. Listen to our break. We'll let Cliff have his drink. We'll be right back. our guest, Cliff DuVanois. You can find Cliff online, Entrepreneurs on podcasting.com. Cliff, we're going to persuade people, from my experience and from your experience, to have a podcast. There's a good question. So how do I know if it works? What's the sign? What's going to tell them whether or not their podcast is really worth the effort?
That's a great question, Tom. And with any marketing effort that you do online, and this is just something that you know, I had to go through the school of hard knocks to learn. So you know, going back to 2018, when I had my podcast, I was producing episodes, and holy cow, was it a ton of work, making you know really great connections. I would take a look at the downloads of the podcast, even though I had just started. And of course, I was completely dismayed because I was averaging about 10 downloads for every episode, one of those being my mom. And I just thought that the podcast was just an abject failure and it just wasn't working. Now, the only thing that convinced me that podcasting does work was when my phone rang one day and somebody had listened to an episode. They loved it, and he said, "You're the guy I want to work with." And I was shell-shocked. So there was something that I did in that podcast episode that really resonated with him, and he wanted to work with me. Just couldn't figure out what that was. It would take me years to finally realize that, especially when you're starting a podcast, looking at the downloads is a horrible, horrible metric. Because with anything, you have to just get started and produce content continuously. But now I say that because I want to go back to something that you and I had talked about before, Tom, in the fact that podcasting is a wonderful tool to help you to build those strategic connections, right? To use it as networking, to be able to bring people you want to connect with onto your show and start to build that relationship with them. Now, the great thing is that you don't have to have 1,000 downloads or 10,000 downloads or 100,000 downloads before you can start building those relationships. You just have to have a podcast. That is it. And when you extend those invitations to these people that you want to network with, they say yes, they come on your podcast, you've built that relationship with them. And like you said before, Tom, you could pick up the phone and call them. Right? This is the level of connection we're talking about here, but you can pick up your phone and call them. That right there is what I tell my students. This is how you measure the success of your podcast, is if your network is growing. And if your network is growing, and as long as you're communicating to other people, hey, this is what I do, this is how I can help you, this is how I can help other people, this is, you know, if you've got any references, if I know of anybody, I will send them your way, just like, you know, old-fashioned, you know, networking. And it won't take too long before from this network, somebody's going to come along with a client or a business or that connection that you need to be able to grow your business from there. That's how you start to measure the success of your podcast. You can't come back and say, well, what's the ROI of the podcast? Because it's intrinsic. When you're talking about your network, when you're talking about the people that you're connecting with and growing that network, that is how you measure the success of your podcast.
So as you say that, I seem to think that when you interviewed me, I perhaps startled you when I made the comment, I never look at the metrics of my podcast. Never have. I have no idea, and I have absolutely no interest in ever looking at any of the analytic reports that tell me how many people have listened to my podcast. That being said, is there anyone else out there crazy like I am that does it that way?
I would have to say that I'm pretty close. I think I check my metrics maybe once a month, just to see if I'm getting steady growth. But I don't look at my numbers and say to myself, oh my goodness, my podcast is a failure. I mean, it's a failure, you know, compared to what? What number are you measuring against? Really, at the end of the day, it's kind of like the same thing of when you're running in a race. Like if you're running in a 5K or a 10K race, you're really competing against yourself. So when you've got a podcast out there, you are the one that gets to determine what's a successful measurement. And we all do things differently, whether it's people sending us emails saying, wow, I really appreciate this episode. If people are leaving reviews for you, if people reach out to you and say, hey, I listened to your podcast, I would like to do business. All of those are clear signs that your podcast is working and it is resonating with people.
And then you have a program like mine that mine wasn't, I don't want to use the word revenge, but from all the years that I was on the outside of the coin, where I was the one who sat in the audience and listened to a speaker at trade show conferences and read other people's materials in magazine, I cringed when I was a part of one of these items to watch a person who would say, by the way, buy this, purchase this from me. Hey, join me for my, I can remember people selling podcast programs for $30 an episode. Join us and we're going to talk for an hour about this. And it's only $29.99 to listen in. And 13 years ago, as I was watching that with people who did it, and all of them who've done it, I think have since quit it, I said, no, I'm going to do mine for free. Why should you charge people just to converse with you? I think it's an honor that someone actually wants to talk to me and ask questions about something. Why would I charge them to do that? Just, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm sure it does if you want to do it from a financial standpoint. I just think it's just not right to work it that way. How about this question? The people you talk to, how long does it take for them, I'll tell you mine in a minute, how long does it take for them to put together their podcast, whether it's one a week or every other week or one a month? How much time do they put together their episodes?
Again, you know, this is a really, really great question because it varies so much. The mentality, the point of differentiation here is that, and I tell this to people coming into when you have a podcast, there's a difference between being a podcaster and an entrepreneur with a podcast. Now, I understand in English that a podcaster is somebody who podcasts. I get that. A podcaster is somebody who focuses on, you know, the podcast is the product. I'm all obsessed about the downloads. I need 100,000 downloads to be able to make money, to be able to grow my business, versus the entrepreneur with a podcast, somebody who like worries about payroll, somebody who's got product to sell, and the podcast is a part of their marketing tool. So with that being said, when I'm talking to, you know, the guests that are on my particular show, and I do ask them this question, the people who are the podcasters, right? The podcast episode is, you know, their bread and butter. This is, you know, how they're growing their business. This is how they grow their Facebook groups, their private communities. They are probably spending anywhere between 8 to 10 hours in preparation for an episode. The entrepreneur Wow. with a podcast, somebody who has, you know, a business to run. You know, I've got product to sell. I've got customers to make happy. I've got payroll to make. I've got employees, you know, to deal with. You know, podcasting is part of my marketing. The number that I've seen, and this has cracked me up, but it's beautiful, has been 15 minutes to prepare an episode. Once you get comfortable.
Okay, so, I'm listening.
Once you get comfortable with creating an episode and how an episode is created, and you understand the structure of how to put together a good episode, you already know the story. You already know the content. So it doesn't take you very long just to pull up a microphone and just share that story with the world. Or if you're doing interviews, having questions just prepared ahead of time, and then just have a 20, 25-minute conversation with your guest. Every one of us has sat down with somebody that we never knew before and had a conversation with them. Just ask them questions. What is it that you do? How do you do this? How do you do that? Oh, I didn't know this. Tell me a little bit more about your business, about your industry. And it's amazing how quickly an episode can come together.
So when you and I first met, you called me and said, hey, I want to interview you for my expert podcasting program. And we finished the program, and we talked for just a moment about, hey, I have one. How about you be a guest? From that moment until tonight, email and I don't know if we talked on the phone at all. Not. How much time do you and I spend tonight?
You and I talking? Oh, it was this. We've been, well,
either
actually,
email or phone. How much time we do?
Man, if I were to guess, maybe like a couple hours, like 2-3 hours, maybe.
No, I was gonna say shorter than that, but at this point, I don't want to shortchange the program, but I don't spend hardly any time on this dadgum thing. I really don't. Okay, I write you. I say I need a picture of you to put on in the announcements we do. I need some questions that you want me to ask you. I need to know how do you want me to find you. And I send you to my people, like Cliff, I send you a 2-page document that says, hey, here's how the program's going to go. And 9 times out of 10, if Cliff is looking at his notes as to how tonight's outline was to go, we're so far off of it because it gets fascinating. And I go, this really isn't a program. I'm just talking to a friend, and I got a lot of people who are eavesdropping in on the conversations. If you look at all the announcements that I want to throw into the program and station breaks and stuff, we have done one of them. that has been it. And it's, yeah, sometimes that's all we get in is the one. It's not that complicated. Couple things I want to make sure that I throw into people tonight. So, in finding guests, let me tell you, for the month of May, our guest is going to be a lady named Ivy Walker. Ivy Walker wrote this really neat book that I got a hold of, talking about, for a small business owner, what's the challenges out there that you need to be looking for? You know, where's something going to blindside you, like someone's going to sue you, or something's going to happen, or someone's going to steal your data, or all kinds of weird things out there that you look and go, never looked at. Should I be taking and paying attention to this? It's risk management type of stuff. And what I was fascinated by her book is she, in each of the chapters, she goes, look, this is short, simple stuff, all right? And she'll tell you, all right, this whole chapter, you ought to be done reading it in 20 minutes. Okay, this chapter, you ought to be done reading it in 16 minutes. All right, that's it. And we're through with the whole point. It's short, simple, because if I tell you to sit down and read this book over 6 or 8 hours, it's not going to work. It's little snippets that you're going to pick up. So that's our guest we're expecting for May. And in June, our guest is Stuart Keller. Stuart came to us by way of another guest by name of Dick Callio. And Dick, gosh, I thought I knew lots of people out there in the world. Dick puts me to shame. And he said, hey, I'm here in Connecticut, and this guy is going to come do a program for the Connecticut, and here's what his PowerPoint is, and this is fascinating, and he'd make a really cool guest for you. And we got Stuart on the phone and talked to him, and his testimonial is that for businesses that are accepting bank cards, this stuff that he is doing is saving them incredible amounts of dollars in bank card fees over the course of a year. And I thought, business has been good for everybody, and we get distracted with others. This would be a good time to take and bring in someone like that. So, you know, here's an expense we might all be looking at to see if we could do it. All right, before we go back to Cliff, let me tell people the real deep, dark secret of the components of our small business conversations, and make this offer. You got an invitation to come to the program, so you know my email, tomshay@profitsplus.org. I have an article that I have written that I can't put on the website yet because it right now it belongs to a magazine, and I have to wait time limits to run out, and then I can put it on our website, but I can give it to you if you like. If you send me an email, a detailed magazine article, I will tell you, here's all the things that we use. So in it, we use a telephone. I'm speaking to you right now. I don't need my headset. I've tried that. I've had my boom mic and all that. I use a telephone to record my part of it. We take and we use a a program. Well, Constant Contact is what sends it out to you. Everybody knows what Constant Contact is, like MailChimp, to send our announcements. We use a program called Start Meeting. That's the only one where we have an expense. And that's the one, as I mentioned earlier, is how much does it cost me for the people who dialed in on an 800 number? And we use that because we can load all of our little music components that we put in and special announcements that we load in, and it'll play through that. And it records the program for us and lets us download it. When we want to make this into an MP4 file, which is kind of the way people want to get their stuff today, all you got to do is Google Simple Online, convert MP3 to MP4, and boom, it's there. It's done. And then the one that really gets the distribution started, you look for another free online product called Anchor.fm, Anchor.fm. And there's several podcasts that they'll get you on for free. And then you start looking at how you research other ones, and you start asking these other people, the big names, you know, like the Spotify and, you know, those type of ones, or whoever else has the big name podcast services out there. And it's a very easy, here's how all you got to do to ask them to say, would you put out my program? When we can say, here's 18 different podcast services that redistribute, you kind of go, wow. I mean, they don't take everybody. You're building it like that. And when you as a business owner can say to your customers, because you're going to use this to build your business, there are 18 podcast services distributing this. You can go home. So if I sell clothes to you, you can go home and tell your little smart speaker, by whatever name you call it, play for me, name of your program, and your customer can sit at home and listen to you interview some expert in your trade about the products or the services that you offer and have them hear it and go, wow, this is why I business with him. This person is like an expert, and he knows so-and-so, and he spoke to so-and-so, and she knew this person there. And, you know, for example, if you sell sewing machines, and let's say that you sell a brand called Baby Lock. I don't know if Christine would do this or not, but her name is Tacony, and the company's name is Tacony Corporation, the people who make Baby Locks. Yeah, what if you would call Christine up at one point and say, Christine, could you give me 15 minutes to talk to me online? And you could say, hey, all you people out there everywhere that own a Baby Lock sewing machine, I'm speaking to the president of Tacony Corporation, and she's going to tell me about what new product is coming out this fall that will be in our store. Now, that's impressive. Say, you know her? Oh, yeah, we know her. She tells us, you know, she tells us ahead of time what's coming. That's the type of information that Cliff is talking about, that you can get out there, get people to see who you are, what you've got, the information that you can distribute for them, and bottom line is you're the expert because everyone wants to go do business with the person who's the best at it. So, Cliff, what else am I not asking you tonight that I need to ask you about?
So, one of the things that, you know, I would like to point out to your audience, and you've brought this up a couple times, and I'm glad that you did, and we've talked about the cost factor in here. You know, a lot of the times when you go to, like, if you're thinking, you know, I would like to start a podcast, I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to research this. There is going to be a ton of videos out there that's going to tell you that to be a successful podcast person, you need to spend $4,500 on equipment. You've got to get a certain kind of microphone. You got to get a mixer board. You have to, you know, do these. You have to, you know, get some kind of a preamp. I don't even know what all that stuff is. But they're going to convince you that you have to spend all this money on equipment. And that's just simply not true. You don't have to. Like what you were just sharing, Tom, about the fact that you're basically using a call-in service to record your podcast episode. Before, I was talking about how you mentioned before about Anchor. You can have Anchor on your phone and you can start a podcast that way, and it will distribute it out to the entire world. So really, at the end of the day, for starting a podcast, the technology barriers just are not there. The financial barriers are just not there. What it entails is you just taking time to just sit down and to just share a one simple idea with your audience, just getting it out there or doing that one interview. Another thing that I would like to bring up too is, and I did this, this was a mistake I made when I got into podcasting, is I was looking at Tim Ferriss. He's got the number one rated podcast out there in the world. I was looking at Larry King. I was thinking, you know, I have to be at Oprah Winfrey level or nobody's going to listen to me. That is not true. There's no reason on the planet you should put yourself under that level of pressure. The whole point, and that's why I stress this throughout this entire conversation, use your podcast to build your network, right? Who is somebody that you want to connect with? Who is somebody that you want to build that relationship with? And just focus on that. When you focus on that, take your eyes off of, you know, these other people out there. They're at chapter 10 and you're just at chapter 1. You know, they always say, don't compare other people's chapters 10 to your chapter 1. Just stay in your lane. Focus on building those relationships. Get those episodes out there. Share your message with the world. That's all you have to focus on.
I'll testify to the points. Let's see. My soundboard is gone. I can't even remember why the crap I had the thing. Let's see. I will say my boom mic is now relegated to Zoom events that I do. All the rest of it is, just as Cliff said, it went bye-bye. I'm speaking tonight. I live on a mountain. My internet is ungodly slow. It's Viasat there. I mean, my upload speed is 35. I could get a whole lot more done if I had some decent speed to it. It's just not that hard to put these things together. Now, I will spend, after this is over, I will spend probably another half hour taking the and editing the dead space each end of it to cut it down. I also catalog all of my podcasts on our website. And to make that happen, because most website companies charge you by space, I use a company called HostGator. And, you know, I have one of the largest websites that exist out there. I've got 1,200 and some odd pages on the website. I pay $206 a year for hosting on my website. And it has, just think about it, an hour-long program every month, and we're in year 13. That's a lot of space, and they don't charge by space. I put mine up there just because I want to keep them close by. I want to make sure I've got them all there. And sometimes it brings people back to our website. So that being said, folks, that's tonight's program. Our guest has been Cliff Duvenois, who found us. We're thankful for you having found us. Cliff, thank you for being so kind to interview us for your program. You can learn a whole lot more of what he does, how he does it, and information from, you know, if I were starting out a podcast today, wouldn't you want to talk to Cliff from the perspective of, here's all these podcasters that he's interviewed, so he's got the expertise of all these wonderful podcasters out there. His website is entrepreneursonpodcasting.com. Cliff, we thank you that you would come and be with us tonight. It is much appreciated. The program was great. Somewhere down the line, would you come back and join us again for another program?
I would love to, Tom. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, folks, that's our program for tonight. Small Business Conversations with Tom Shea is coming to a halt for April 21st, 2022. Come back and join us next month when we have our guest, Ivy Walker, and we're going to talk about risk management. Everyone, enjoyed it. Good night.
It has been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests next month right here on Small Business Conversations from Profits Plus Solutions. This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network. Visit our website to learn more about us at profitsplus.org. There you will find our catalog of small business conversations, articles and advisories, news, meeting planners, calculators, and resources. Also, we invite you to connect with Profits Plus Solutions on our various social media channels. Please like or connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, SlideShare, Twitter, and YouTube. We have links to all our social media channels on our homepage at ProfitsPlus.org. Thank you for joining us.